Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias. Guten Abend. How you?
There you go.
The Kevin Herr gripe session is now in full swing.
I don't know if I have anything to gripe about right now.
Oh, come on. It's like a day without sunshine.
Well, we've got that, too.
That's true. All right. Great to have you with us. It's great to be talking with everybody today. And we will talk about a couple of quick things with you. The final game of the Bud Selig era is tonight. Game 7 of the World Series. Now we get to the Kevin Herr gripe session.
Well, I think this is going to be a must-win for both teams in this situation.
No, it's about Bud Selig. Bud, you're not a big Bud guy.
No, I'm okay with the Bud era ending.
What is it about the Bud era you don't like?
I don't know. There's just a lot of things. It's hard to pinpoint just one. Is he the worst commissioner ever? No. Is he the best commissioner ever? No.
Yeah, who's the best commissioner?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a very good question.
You brought it up. I'm only following up.
No, I don't know.
I want to know what standard we should hold him to.
Boy, I don't know. That's a good question.
What standard do we hold Bud to? Because every time I bring up his name, you have a complaint.
Well, there's a lot of issues. I mean, I think the way that this...
Such as?
All right, the steroid issue was handled horribly.
Okay, now... In a world of negotiated, that you have to negotiate with the players union, how would you have handled it?
Well, and I understand where you're coming from with that. I get that. I never feel as though Bud Selig is thinking about the fan in watching while he makes his decisions in baseball. I think he's very much thinking, and maybe this is the way all commissioners are, I don't know, but I think he's very much thinking about the ownership and not the game of baseball.
Well, number one, he's employed by the owners.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, so, I mean, you have to remember that. He is employed by the owners. Number two, what has he put in that is not in the best interest of the fan?
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing that was done and never doing anything about it.
But you know what? It's interesting that if you talk to, take Frank Robinson, for example, and you ask Frank Robinson, absolutely not. And if you ask other people involved in baseball, should Pete Rose be in? You know the answer I keep hearing over and over again? That he committed one of the biggest no-nos, and that's betting on the game. Now, I've always said that maybe you have to take a look at Pete Rose, the player, versus Pete Rose, the manager, because the allegations were as a manager. But John Dowden's report shows, the Dowd report shows that he was actually making the calls actually in Riverfront Stadium. So the Pete Rose thing is interesting, and I can understand why you would bring it up. Because there are different arguments to it, in fairness to your point.
I think the biggest one, I understand where players and people close to the game are coming from with that, But I also look back, there were a lot of players who bet on baseball. I just think that...
Who?
Well, wasn't Mantle in for... Didn't Mantle have a gambling issue?
Not that he had a drinking issue.
Well, I knew he had a drinking issue, but I thought he had a gambling issue as well for a while. And that was a question that got... a topic that got shoved under the rug.
No, Mantle began working with Atlantic City along with Willie Mays. And neither one was allowed under by Bowie Kuhn to be associated with baseball until they dropped their ties with Atlantic City.
I just think that once you pay... I think the biggest issue, though, is the fact that Pete Rose finally admitted to it, but it was so after the fact. I think that was Pete's big issue. But my problem is, don't say you're considering it and leave it sit on the back burner for so long. Come out and say, listen... take a stand on it. You never took a stand on it. Well, I'm looking at it. You've been looking at it for how long?
Okay.
I think he recovered. I'll give him this. I think he recovered from the strike. Okay. The fact that was ridiculous.
I think baseball will never completely recover from the strike.
Well, I mean, I think his legacy recovered from it is what I meant.
Well, they've had labor peace ever since that moment. And they have quietly negotiated contracts ever since, to their credit. I think they've been able to do that. Now, I think he gets credit for that. I think that people would not give him credit for... some people won't give him credit for... the wild card thing. And I think he's actually increased interest in the game, and I think he did it for the right reason.
I think the adding the wild card makes sense. I just think it needs to be modified how it's done. As far as the game's played.
How would you modify it?
Well, see, I think you have to at least play 2 out of 3. Now, I know that pushes everything back, and that goes against everything we've talked about, especially me, of shortening the season. But I think you have to at least do a best 2 out of 3 in a wild card. I'm not a big fan of a one and done. If it takes you 162 games and you're still tied for a division or a wild card spot, I have no problem with a one and done then, because you've had 162 games to get it ironed out. Once you get to the playoffs, I don't think baseball is set up for a one and done. Baseball's just not played that way. Why would you play a one and done when you never play a one and done all year? It's always a 3 or 4 game series.
I understand that, but I also think that the drama of it has actually been interesting.
Well, again, I think he lucked out this year.
I think the drama of all of them been interesting.
I think they lucked out this year when you get a one and done that goes extra innings. I mean, let's face it, that was exciting. I'll give you that. But that's not going to happen every year. It better not happen every year.
Well, last year you had Tampa Bay play Texas for the right to then meet Cleveland in a one and done. Tampa Bay won at Texas, then won at Cleveland in 2 1 and dones back to back. One was a tiebreaker, and the other one was the playoff game itself. I think it's added a little sense of drama to start the playoffs, because it's something that never happens in baseball. Tonight, that's what makes tonight exciting and interesting. It's winner-take-all tonight.
No question. But a Game 7, to me, is a different situation than a one-game playoff. Yes, this is still a one-game playoff, but you had to get here. You know, the fact that these two teams have fought back and forth for the last 6 games makes this one and done much more interesting, because there's a little history there. I think the biggest thing that Bud Selig has with as far as his legacy with Major League Baseball, and the thing that will tarnish it more than the PED situation is the fact that under his reign, and this could be debated what the cause was, but again, when you're the head of it, you're going to take the blame. It's like being the president of the United States. When things don't go well, people are going to point the finger at you, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. But during his reign, baseball,
thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
Baseball has now become a second sport and not the national pastime. And you have to wonder why something wasn't done to adjust that sooner.
Okay, what could have been done to adjust it sooner? Do you hate that to what you say and then follow up with questions?
No, I don't mind that at all because I have the answers for this. We've talked about it many times. You've got to figure out why aren't people watching the games? Why are the games losing interest? I think there's a couple of different things. We talked about the game speed, way too long. I think the cost of going to a game has gotten out of hand. You're paying $30 to $50 now average for a seat price for, 80-some games at home? Where you pay $75 to $100 for five NFL games. So it becomes cost prohibitive to go to a game now. I think that you have to do something there. I think, as I said, the speed of the game is way too slow and lost interest.
Well, first of all, when it comes to the money you pay to the game, one thing baseball doesn't have, and it has to be—you'd have to negotiate this again. Baseball doesn't have a salary cap.
That's correct.
They're the only professional sport in the United States that does not have a salary cap. Thus, Ryan Howard, as an example, who's one of your favorites to go after, is making $25 million a year. Well, is he worth $25 million a year? No. Has he played to the level of $25 million a year? No. But he's still making $25 million a year, and the Phillies have doled out that kind of money to him, which then, of course, where do you think they pass the cost of that on to? Well, some of it they'll get from TV, some of it from advertising, but they also pass on part of that cost to you, the ticket holder. I mean, they don't have a salary cap, and you have to negotiate that with the union, and the union is not going to go along with a salary cap. They have that luxury tax in there, but that's...
There are two other things that I have that I would tag Bud Selig with.
And pay supply, by the way, is a very important issue.
The two other things that I would say that will tarnish his Major League Baseball legacy, the All-Star game is just dumb. The whole premise behind it is completely stupid. That's just my opinion. And the other thing is, I think the addition of Florida teams didn't really make a ton of sense. You have so many baseball teams that are in Florida right now in the spring that the fan base is diluted. Now you're playing two more teams in the Florida area that really dilute the fan base even further. And I think that's why both teams struggle.
Yet the population has shifted south, including Florida, and there are a lot of transplanted Phillies, Red Sox, Yankees fans that live down there that take in the games.
One team makes sense. I don't think you can do two.
One's in each league.
I understand that. Interleague play, it doesn't matter anymore.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Kevin Hurd's been complaining about a series of things with Bud Selig, and now the Commissioner of Baseball joins us on the line. Hello,
Bud.
Oh,
great. That's great. Please tell me, why didn't you do more for PEDs?
Kevin, that has to be negotiated.
I think to a point I agree with you and I understand what you're saying. But when it affects the game, when it changes the complexion of the game, and when it completely and totally takes fans and makes them ask the question every time there's a big, a lot of home runs, is he juiced? There's a problem. And I think that then has to be dealt with somehow with the union.
Then how do you deal with it? Oh, you have to drug test for it. Okay, the commissioner does not have the power to go, I'm testing you. And you can't suspend him because you suspect.
I guess the question is, why doesn't the commissioner have that ability?
Because it has to be negotiated with the union.
Okay, then you need to have a special talk with the union and say, listen, you're ruining baseball.
Because you can't, you can't sit there, all right, and look at a player and say, I think Barry Bonds is juicing. Well, it's one thing for you to say it, now you have to prove it. All right, let's prove it. Let's test him. You can't. This is back during that era. You can't. The union's not going to allow you. It has to be negotiated. You know, just because you're a commissioner doesn't mean you're the all-powerful, all-seeing Oz. Being commissioner is not a dictatorship.
But don't you have to get with the union and say, listen, this is the question mark is ruining baseball. And if this ruins baseball, it's going to ruin baseball for the players as well as the owners. We need to come to a common ground on this, and let's start talking about it now. Let's not wait till the next contract renegotiation.
They have to be willing to talk.
Agreed. They do.
If they're not willing to talk, doesn't matter what you say. You can only bring it up and bring it to the table. There's only so much you can do. Take, for example, let's look at Roger Goodell, for example. He's a powerful commissioner. The Ray Rice situation, right? They mishandled it in terms of suspension and so forth. Now, the Ravens, after seeing the second video, terminate his contract. What's Ray Rice doing right now?
Well, he's going back and fighting the league now, sure. Or at least thinking about it.
Yes. No, they don't. They have to sit down. Roger Goodell is going to be one of the witnesses because he's fighting for his contract back. He's fighting for the money he thinks he's owed. And guess what? The union supports him. Correct?
I would imagine so. I don't know how deeply they support him.
It doesn't matter. He's a part of their rank and file. They support him. I looked at the tape. Why are you supporting him? What self-respecting employer wants to see their employee close-fisting a woman in an elevator? Now, we don't have union protection. If you or I did that over at the Edison Hotel, how long do you think the meeting with Roger would last?
Why?
Not long, and justifiably so.
Right.
And you and I would have no recourse in order to reclaim either money or our jobs.
Correct.
Now here, because it's professional sports, millionaires negotiating with millionaires or millionaires negotiating with billionaires. Here's somebody who's done something where you sit back and the entire country sat back and they were horrified watching it. To the point where the league is putting out PSAs entitled No More.
Saw a few of those this weekend.
And you're going to see them over and over and over with players. No more. No more excuses. And good for them. I'm glad they're doing that. But it hasn't kept Ray Rice from challenging it and having union backing to challenge it.
Why has the NFL not had the major controversies regarding PEDs that Major League Baseball has?
Can't explain that.
I mean, it seems to me, at face value, not looking deep into it, that the NFL has dealt with this. Now, there's always discussion of whether there were PEDs being used in the 70s and so forth, but you don't really hear the issues in the 80s and 90s and now that you did then.
Gee, I wonder what team was a primary target.
No idea. I don't know. The Raiders, probably. Yeah. I mean, they were...
Doubt that.
But why was it that the NFL was able to deal with this and Major League Baseball wasn't? My thought in this, and this is just a thought, I don't have any real way to back this up, but my thought is that because baseball had the strike in 93 and so wanted to never have that again, including what almost happened in 02, that maybe they didn't push the issue enough because they were afraid of a Major League Baseball strike that would be completely and totally disastrous for Major League Baseball within 10 years of the one that was almost the end of baseball as we know it.
Well, the NFL, I mean, they have negotiated these things in. 4-game suspension, performance-enhancing drugs, things like that. They have a long list of them. I mean, so they have it, so people feel like it's being taken care of. At the same time, you don't sit there and say, wow, Peyton Manning has thrown 511 touchdown passes in his career. Gee, was he juiced
it? Right, yes.
Oh, wow. Emmitt Smith ran for 17,000 yards in his career. Wow, was he juiced. Jerry Rice, his receiving numbers are off the charts. Joe Montana. As opposed to, wow, that's interesting. A skinny Barry Bonds is now a rather large Barry Bonds and has now hit 72 home runs in a year and 762 in his career. Oh, wow. Look at Sammy Sosa. Where'd that come from? Oh, wow. You mean Brady Anderson hit 50 home runs? Brady Anderson? Really? You don't sit there and say, holy cow, I can't believe Joe Flacco just did that. The difference is in the glamour positions. Home run hitting is a glamour position. While quarterback, wide receiver, running back, they're the glamour positions in the NFL. You don't have tainted records in the NFL. You have questions over what you're seeing in Major League Baseball. Because the glamour position is under scrutiny. There's no scrutiny like that in the NFL. When you're talking about PEDs and things like that in the NFL, you're talking about the guys up front. And by the way, people don't pay as much attention to the guys up front as they do to quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, as opposed to the cleanup hitter in the baseball lineup.
I'll give you an example of when the Bonds thing started to hit its peak. My son said to me, what's the deal with all this? And I said, okay, here's a Barry Bonds rookie card. Here's Barry Bonds now. I said, is that possible to have happen to you? Sure. I said, does it happen in a couple of years? Probably not.
But the difference is that no one sits there and looks at a football record book and feels like the football record book is tainted. No, people don't look at that. They don't look at, I don't know, I'm telling you right now, that Tom Brady's juicing. Really? No, nobody thinks that. That Joe Montana. Oh, yeah,
well, Roethlisberger just threw for 500 yards. Did anybody say, man, I wonder what he's on? No. Right. But when somebody hits 60 home runs in a year, all of a sudden it's like, well, he's juiced.
when they put a mythical number out there of Babe Ruth hitting 60, and then, of course, they had to go through the asterisk thing with Roger Maris at 61, suddenly in 1998, it gets passed by Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa passed it, too. And it was fun. It was exciting. It brought a lot of people and eyeballs and so forth. Oh, my goodness, here's a mythical home run number. Passing Ruth was incredible. Passing Maris was incredible. And, wow. Except here's the problem. It wasn't when Maris hit 61, I think Mantle hit 54. And it's just one of those years where both had great years, but nobody else was out there hitting 50-plus home runs. I mean, nobody else did that. And, you know, so in 1961, I mean, that's where you were. Now you had everybody hitting home runs in Major League Baseball. Brady Anderson hit 50? Really? Really? I mean, that's the difference. I mean, that's the difference in all of this. Is that across the board, right? In 1961, Roger Maris hit 61 and Mantle hit 54, so I was correct about that. Now, here are the other numbers. And part of this is expansion and so forth. But Jim Gentile of Baltimore hit 46. Orlando Cepeda with the Giants hit 46. Harmon Killebrew hit 46. Rocky Colavito at 45. Norm Cash, who had a great year. Norm Cash, by the way, hit 360 that year. Hit 41. And Willie Mays hit 40. Frank Robinson with the Reds at 37. Dick Stewart with the Pirates at 35. And Joe Adcock with Milwaukee hit 35. So there's the top 10, right, in 1961. So you had 61, 54, and then you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in the 40s. All right? Now let's transition to 1998. In 1998, when the record is then broken, you have obviously McGwire topping out at 70, correct? And I believe Sosa hit 66. So let's see what we got here. You have Dante Bichette at 219 hits. That ought to raise eyebrows. All right. You had, let's see here.
Yeah, but wasn't he playing in Colorado at the time?
Yes, he was.
Well, that helped too.
Yes, he was. You had this is the home run list in 1998. Mark McGwire at 70, Sosa hit 66, Ken Griffey Jr., who by the way has never had any suspicion around him ever, 56. Okay.
Well, that's Greg because he Vaughn. Never looked like he was on PEDs.
Right. But Greg Vaughn of the San Diego Padres hit 50 home runs that year, too. Joey Bell, Albert Bell of the White Sox, same thing. I mean, it's sometimes you get called Joey, sometimes Albert. But Albert Bell of the White Sox hit 49. Jose Canseco with the Blue Jays hit 46. Vinny Castilla hit 46. Okay? Juan Gonzalez hit 45. That makes sense. Manny Ramirez hit 45. Andres Galarraga hit 44. Now, you got 10 guys in there, right, where 44 is the bottom number. Bottom number in 61 was in the 30s, 35 home runs. Look at all those guys that hit. You have five guys hitting 49 or more. So you do wonder. And the names that are in there. Castilla? Vinny Castilla? Greg Vaughn? Even Andres Galarraga with Atlanta. I mean, the names, you look in there and say, are you kidding me? I mean, Jim Gentile was a home run hitter, you know. I mean, Jim Gentile was. And so is Frank Robinson. We all know, you know, we know that these guys back then, to them, a PED was the first three letters in the word pedal. Orlando Cepeda, Harmon Killebrew, Rocky Colavito, Norm Cash, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, Dick Stewart, Joe Acca. They're all home run hitters. Vinny Castilla. Hey, now you crank it out to 99. In 1999, more of the same thing.
Well, in the last half hour, you asked me, you know, where I thought Bud Selig fits. I don't think he was a bad commissioner that did good things. I think he was a pretty okay, good commissioner that made some bad decisions for baseball.
What bad decisions? Now, not every decision is going to be right.
I went over that.
What bad decision? You're saying that he should have what?
Well, there's a couple. I was talking about that last half hour. I think there were a couple of bad decisions. I think there was a bad decision of not to go after the PED situation a little more aggressively. I think it was a bad decision to do anything with the All-Star game. That just made no sense.
The All-Star game, I agree with you. I think the All-Star game is, you know, making it meaningful, really. I mean, not really. But when it comes to the PED thing, you have to negotiate with the union.
I understand.
You are not the king of the world.
But you're going to have to be a little more aggressive than he was in negotiating with the union. I think he left it go too long before he decided to even talk to the union about it.
How do you know?
I'm just going by the eyeball test. You're right. I was not involved in those closed-door sessions. You just got to go by the eyeball test and... It appears as though there wasn't enough done.
All right, Tony and Shimokan. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Steve. Jim Gentile, is that a name from the past or what? Yeah. Didn't he have the Grand Slam record, 18, at one time?
He sure did.
I thought so. And go back to the year when Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record. I played for the Atlanta Braves. And that year, I think there was three Atlanta Braves, Baby Johnson, second baseman, being one of them, who hit 40 or more home run runs. Is that correct? What do you attribute that to?
And Darrell Evans, the other one.
Yes.
What do I contribute? It's 1973, so I don't contribute to much of anything except they had career years.
Career years in a small ballpark.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and that's what the Mets are trying to do, is shorten up the ballpark.
Yeah. David Johnson, though, did he ever come close to that number again? I don't think so.
Nope, did not.
No. But, boy, what a time for baseball. That's when you could really sit and watch a game. Watch Jim Cott pitching. Steve Carlton would be over in an hour and a half.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a big, big issue.
It is. Hey, listen, have a good day. I just have to talk about Jim Gentile. Nobody remembers him. Glad you did.
I mean, he made the cut, man. All right. We'll come back with more of Kevin verbally attacking. Is that a good way of putting it?
No. How about judging? Judging the legacy.
Great. Nothing like having Kevin Herr at the pearly gates here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin Herr, King of the World. You would be the commissioner of all commissioners, the commissioner we would all love to see running every game. There would be purity in sports, harmony, doves circling the stadium.
Players wouldn't move to other teams for more money. They would stay with the team and retire there so you could wear their jersey forever.
Well, obviously the union would get rid of you in about a month.
I would be gone.
be done. All right. More coming up next hour. Penn State, Maryland coming up Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Important game for the Nittany Lions at 4-3. They got 5 games remaining in this regular season. This is an important one for them. Coming up, if Kevin Herr were commissioner, would every fan end up getting limo service to the ballpark?
Well, at least a free ticket once a year anyway.
It's a business, man.
You're spending a lot of money when you get there if your ticket's free.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes, one of the...